Would you turn back to 1 John chapter 3? Let's read this amazing verse again. 1 John chapter 3. Behold, by using that word, John tells us he's getting ready to say something remarkable and amazing. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. It doesn't recognize us as such because it knew him not. I've entitled this message, Sons of God. Now, if I was the son of Bill Gates or Warren Buffett or somebody like that, you would look at me and you would think he has advantages that I'll never know anything about. He's going to have opportunities that I'll know nothing in my lifetime because of the position he has as the son of one of these wealthy men. What is that in comparison to being the son of God? What is that in comparison to being a son of God? Behold, a thing of wonder. See this, perceive this, understand this. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the Son of God, sons of God. Now, who is this us? Who is the we that John is speaking of when he says, God hath bestowed this manner of love upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, the reason this question is important is because not everybody is a son of God. You know that's so? Not everybody is a son of God. You will remember the words of the Lord to the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil. A strong language, isn't it? You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. In the parable of the wheat and tares, you remember that parable. The enemy came and sowed tares with the wheat, and the Lord tells us who those tares are. He said the tares are the children of the wicked one. That's who they are. They're the children of the wicked one. Turn with me to Romans chapter 9 for a moment. I'd like to read several verses here. I want you to see these. Verse 6, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Just because you're born in Israel and born under being a Jew, that doesn't mean you're truly Israel. Let's go on reading. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, for the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Now the children of the promise of election, they're counted as the seed. Children of the flesh are not. And I could go on and give many other scriptures that demonstrate not everybody's a child. I think of what God said to Abraham when he said, take now your son, your only son. Wasn't Ishmael his son? He wasn't acknowledged a son because Ishmael was born after the flesh. He represents salvation by works. Salvation dependent upon something you do, and God does not recognize him as a son. He says, take now thy son Isaac, thy only son whom you love, and offer him up as a burnt offering to me. Now, I want to know who the us is. I want to know who the we is, and I want to know if I'm in that group. That's what I want to know. Now, who is John speaking of when he says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And I'm going to begin with the bottom rung. That's a good place to begin. Who is the us? Who is the we? Sinners. Behold what manner of the love the Father hath bestowed on us. Sinners, that we, evil people, wicked people, sinful people, should be called the sons of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, for God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But preacher, isn't everybody a sinner? No, not really. Well, all men are sinners. They don't believe that about themselves. Let me remind you what a sinner is. Well, what's a sinner? A sinner is the one who commits the sins. God doesn't put sins into hell. He puts the ones who committed them into hell. A sinner is somebody who all they do is sin. Now, see if this fits you. See if this describes you. A sinner is somebody who all they do is sin. They cannot not sin. Can you keep your mind pure for 5 seconds? A sinner cannot not sin. A sinner, a real sinner, can't look down in moral superiority and judgment on any other sinner living. They believe themselves to be the worst person to ever live. And a sinner knows they have no claims on God. You know, when people start this stuff about, well, that's not fair for God to elect some and pass by others. The only person who says that is a person who doesn't believe he's a sinner. If you believe you're a sinner, that kind of thinking will be gone. You know that if you get fair, God will send you to hell. And you're sure of that. So no, there aren't many sinners. But I know this, Christ died for every sinner. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul said. That's who he came to save. Who are these people that can be described in this group of the us and the we? First, sinners. If you're a sinner, God loves you. You're a son of God. The only people who know that they're sinners are sons. Nobody else does. They always have something they can bring to the table. But a sinner has nothing to bring to the table. And he is a son. Secondly, who is the us? Who is the we? Those who believe the gospel. Look at 1 John chapter 5. Verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is what? Born of God. They've got the nature of a son. If you're born of God, you're a son of God. If you've been born from above, born again, you're a son of God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, you believe he's God's prophet, you believe he's the Word of God, you believe he's the priest who must be successful, you believe he's the king of the universe and he rules and reigns and controls everything and everybody and every event. You really believe he's king. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, they're born of God. Look in verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God, That's a child of God. They're birthed by God, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Who are the us? They're sinners. They're those who believe. And like that passage of Scripture I just read, Romans chapter 9, these people are the elect of God. They are the people that God has chosen to be saved. That's the us, that's the we, of whom John speaks of when he says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." And I love this. Notice these people are called the children of God. They're not calling themselves the children of God. Somebody else calls them the children of God. It's God himself. I'm a child of God. Well, that doesn't make you one, just because you say that. Does he call you a child? Would he own you as a child? Remember that group that said, "Lord, Lord, have we not preached in your name? In your name have we not cast out demons? And in your name have we not done many wonderful works?" Then shall I say unto them, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." He didn't know these people. Didn't mean he didn't know who they were. He knew exactly who they were and all about it. But he never loved them. He never knew them to know him as Lord. Now, it is the Lord, it is God who calls them sons of God. The Father, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." The Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "I go to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." The Holy Spirit, "As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God." This is who calls these people sons of God, children of God, God himself. "And behold, what manner of love." That's what I want to talk about for just a moment now. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." Well, what manner of love is this? First, predestinating love. Predestinating love. Ephesians 1:5, "In love having predestinated us." Everybody in here with kids, if it was in your power to predestinate your child to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, would you do it? Of course you would. It's not in your power. You realize that. But if it were in my power, of course I would do that. It's in God's power. "Whom he did foreknow." Predestination is not about events, it's about persons. "Whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Jeremiah 31:3, "Behold, I've loved you with an everlasting love, a love that never had a beginning." That said to every sinner, every believer, every one of God's elect, "Behold, I've loved you with an everlasting love." I've always had personality before God. I love this statement. Somebody once said, "When we get to heaven, we'll find out we've always been there, united to the Lord Jesus Christ, an everlasting love, one that had no beginning." I love predestination. I love the God of predestination. And any God less than a God of absolute predestination is an idol. He's worthless. Predestinating love. Love that begins before the foundation of the world and is carried out all the way to the end. What manner of love is this? It's predestinating love. You've got to begin with God. "Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate." But it's also saving love. It's saving love. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. What that means is when Christ was raised from the dead, I was too. And I have life before God. And Paul says, this is what I mean by all this. By grace are you saved. You see, His love is a saving love. If I present the love of God in such a way as I could, He could love me and I could end up not being saved, if I don't do something in order to make what He did work, I make His love meaningless and powerless. There's no love there. No, His love is a saving love. And it is a giving love. That's what that word bestow is. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, what manner of love the Father has given to us. Bestowed. I like that word, bestowed, but it's the word given. That we should be called the sons of God. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. If He loves you, here's what He gave, His Son. He sent His Son to be the sin-removing sacrifice so He could have something to do with somebody like me or you. That's the kind of love. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 8, verse 32, He that spared not His own Son. Now listen to this. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely? You don't have to do anything to earn it. How shall He not with Him freely give us all things? This love is a forgiving love. I love it when the Lord came up to that fella. Fella didn't even ask for mercy. His friends broke up the ceiling, let him down. God, I would have loved to have been there that night, wouldn't you? When all of a sudden you're listening to the Lord preach and all of a sudden the ceiling starts breaking up and this guy's put down on a mat, crippled. And the Lord looked at him and He said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, if you're a son of God, the only way you can look upon your sins is as forgiven sins. Forgiven sins. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Now, when I think of His love, here are the words that come to my mind. And I know that there's no way I can adequately describe the love of God. But the first word that comes to my mind is intense. You know what that means? He can't love you any more than He does. There's nothing you could do that could draw out more love. There's nothing you can do that would make Him quit loving or stop loving. He can't love you any more. He can't love you any less. I've heard people say, with regard to Esau, well, that means God loved him less. God doesn't love less. His love is always an intense love. It's infinite. It's undeserved. It's everlasting. It's immutable. It's a love that cannot be quenched. Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And let me say this, if it could be lost, I would have already lost it. I'm sure of that. I'm dead sure of that. If it could be lost, I would have already lost it. But thank God, this is a love that cannot be quenched. Now this love, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It's a love that actually makes us sons of God. God's dear children. Now, how do you feel about your children? How do you feel about your children? I love that where the Lord says if a son asks for a piece of bread, will his father give him a serpent? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a rock? Of course not. And then the Lord looks at his disciples and he says, if you then, being evil. I'm glad he said that to his disciples. Because he can say that, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? What an awesome thought to be a son or a daughter of God. Now, there are two ways in which we're sons. First of all, sons by adoption. Sons by adoption. When you're adopted, that means you were selected by God to be his son or his daughter, his child. That's what adoption is. When you adopt, the adopted one doesn't do the choosing. It's the one who adopts. He selects you. He chooses you as his child. Romans 8:15, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Simply because he willed to do it. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Galatians 4:5, to redeem them that are under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. Adoption is God selecting you to be his own dear child. But not only are we sons by adoption, we're sons by birth. Turn with me in John 1. First chapter of John. Verse 12. But as many as received him, John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power, the right, the privilege to become the sons of God. Even to them which believe on his name, which were, what's that next word? Born. Birthed by God. Born. Not of blood. There's no way you will be a child of God because your mom or dad is a child of God. It doesn't run through bloodlines. Not of the will of the flesh. Not as an act of your own free will. How much did a baby's will, how much was it involved in his first birth? You want to be born? You want to be conceived? You say, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. Well, it's crazy to think of a man being saved by his free will, as if that is what brings on life. Not born of the will of the flesh, not born of the will of man. Let's say everybody in here says, I'm going to pray for this person. We're all going to get together. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to pray until that person is saved. We're not going to give God any sleep. We're not going to give him any rest. We're going to keep praying until that person is saved. Doesn't work that way. Now pray for people. Pray for people. We're encouraged to pray for one another. But someone is not born from above because a bunch of people desired it. How are they born? Which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Now I say this reverently. To be born of God is to have his genes. to be born of God is to have his genes. Now, I know God doesn't have genes, but the point is, this is a supernatural thing. And to be birthed by God, Peter called it in 2 Peter 1:4, partakers of the divine nature. 1 John 3:9, turn with me there. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Whosoever, 1 John 3, verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. You see, if God birthed you, you've got his nature, a holy nature, a new nature. Can God commit sin? No. No, it's not possible. It's not within the realm of possibility. He's impeccable. He cannot commit sin. And that which is born of God in the new birth cannot commit sin. Somebody's saying, well, I commit a lot of sins. As a matter of fact, it feels like that's all I do. Well, that's the old man. That's the old man. The new man does not commit sin. This is a great mystery, but it's the truth. Born of God. This is what takes place in the new birth. You're born from above, a new creation, a new creature with the nature of the Son of God. And you know, there's something very powerful about a child coming from you. Now, I love your children. I love your children. I want to see them saved. I want to preach the gospel to them. I want to be their pastor. I love your children. And I suppose I ought to love them just as much as I love this one. But there's something special about the child that comes from you, that has your genes, your characteristics, they came from you. And that's how God feels about his children. They come from him, born of God. We are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness, John said. We are of God. That's where we're from. That's our origination. He birthed us. So we're children by adoption. God picked us out. And we're children by birth, born of God. And how the Father loves his children, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Aren't you glad your Father remembers that you're dust and he loves you anyway? In the beloved. Now, there are evidences of being in the family of God. There are divine evidences of being a child of God. All of his children manifest the family likeness. Now, what are those evidences? I want to know. I want to see if I have the evidences of a child of God. And we're getting these from the Scripture. I'm not just pulling things out and say, well, here's what I think the evidence is. You read the Scriptures and you pray and you're able to suppress sin more and you get better and more holy and less sinful. And you... No. But turn to John chapter 8. We have two right here. John chapter 8. Beginning in verse 41. The Lord is speaking to some people who had claimed to believe on him, but they didn't really, and he's finding them out. And he says in verse 41 to these people, you do the deeds of your father. You're somebody's son. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. God is our Father. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you'd love me. That's simple enough, isn't it? If God were your Father, you'd love me. You'd love every attribute of mine. You'd love me in my holiness. You'd love me in my sovereignty. You'd love me in my control of everything and everybody. You'd love me in my justice. You'd love me in my meekness and in my humility. You'd love everything regarding me. Now, with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ, do I feel like I love him as I ought to? Of course I don't. I ought to love him more than I do, and you should too. Amen? You ought to love him a lot more than you do. Me too. But I tell you what, I love him, and I wouldn't change anything about him. I love his character. I love his attributes. You know, I love the way he talked to the Pharisees. I do. I love the way he hated human religion and hates human religion. I just love everything about him. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. If God were your Father, you'd love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You lack the ability to hear what I'm saying. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Now here is the mark of being a child of God. He that's of God, what? Heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Now this I know, every son of God will bow to and agree with everything he says. He that's of God heareth God's words. Doesn't matter what it is. If God said it, I hate that saying, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Oh no! God said it, and that settles it, whether you and I believe it or not. He that's of God heareth God's words. Someone that doesn't bow to what God says, they are not a child of God. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. Verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now, not only do they love Christ, they love the people of God. Every single one of them. And if that love is absent, they're not God's children. Now, let me ask you a question. And this is very simple. If somebody loves Jesus Christ, what does that make you do? You love them, don't you? If someone loves Jesus Christ, I love that person because they love him who is altogether lovely to my soul. 1 John chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that's begotten of him, the other people he begets. Now, to believe that Jesus is the Christ means I'm born of God. It means I have God's genes. It means I've been birthed by God. Now, this thing of believing that he's the Christ, it's not just acknowledging it, it's needing this. You know, I need him to bring me the word of God. I need him to represent me before the Father. I need him to be my priest. I need him to be my king to cause me to do his will. Remember, a king is the one whose will is done. I need him to cause me to believe. I need him to cause me to repent. I need him to cause me to persevere. I need him as prophet, priest, and king. But whoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. Do you believe he's the Christ? You know, somebody not that long ago, I was making this statement, and they said, well, that's misleading because there's a lot of people that believe he's the Christ that aren't saved. No, there's not. There's not one. Everybody who believes that Jesus is the Christ, they're born of God. That's what the Word of God says. And I'm going to take it just as it says it. Look down in verse 4 of this same chapter. We've already read these verses. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe he is the uncreated second person of the Trinity? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You believe that? You're born of God. That's what the Bible says. I love what Philip said to the Ethiopian. The Ethiopian said, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? He said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He didn't say, I believe I'm saved. He didn't say, I believe I'm one of the elect. He didn't say, I believe I have repented of my sins. He didn't say, I believe I've been born again. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Anybody that believes that? They're born of God. They're children of God. Now back to our text in closing. And this is something that seems like most people leave this part out of the verse. There's been a lot of sermons on behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. But look what he says next in this verse. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. The world doesn't recognize us as sons of God. You, a son of God? Huh, where do you get off on that? You know, the world doesn't get it. You know, I've heard people say so many times, I want people to see Christ in me. They didn't see Christ in Christ. They saw no beauty in him. They saw no glory in him. He's the only holy man to ever live. And what'd they do? They nailed him to a tree. If they see Christ in you, they'll nail you to a tree too. That's what's going to happen. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. It doesn't recognize us because it knew him not. But let me ask you this question. If the world doesn't recognize you, could you care less? Really? Who cares? I don't. As long as he recognizes me as a son, I don't care what anybody else thinks. What a wonder. Behold what manner of love, saving love, predestinating love, love that cannot be quenched, the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's why it's so perfect and complete. It's in Christ. You see, when God loves me, all he sees is his Son, Jesus Christ. I'm in him. How much does God love Christ? That's how much he loves me. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us sinners, that we should be called the sons of God. Sons by adoption, sons by birth. Therefore, the world, it doesn't know us, didn't know him either, but that's okay, isn't it? What an amazing blessing. Let's pray together. Lord, how we stand amazed that we would actually be your children, adopted by you, birthed by you, loved by you. That you love us as you love your blessed Son. And Lord, we wouldn't dare take such a promise to ourselves if it wasn't written in your word. We thank you for the words of our Lord in the great high priestly prayer to you when he was praying to you and he said, "Thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Lord, give us grace to believe that, to lay hold upon it. Give us the grace to lay hold upon these promises. Bless this word for your glory and for our good. In Christ's blessed name we pray.